Lord, would you give us living aptitude to hear what you're saying today? In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be lots of Bible verses today, and from a couple different versions. But what I want to talk to you about, the title of what I'm talking about is Ageless Connections. There's so much out there about times and seasons and ages, and you can get really geared up and you can get really askew if you pay attention too much to the wrong things. I don't want you to do that, but I do want you to pay attention. Because is the Lord doing something? Yeah. What is he doing? Lots of things. How do they affect us? Let's find out. Well, Jesus is in charge. How many of you know he's in charge? Okay, there we go. We'll start with that. And so I want to talk to you today about this concept of the ages of the Lord, ages of time, and ages that transcend time. And I'll hope I give you some information you do know, and I hope I give you some information you didn't know. And I think maybe it'll help you figure out why he's doing what he's doing and how we can do it with him. Hope so. So John chapter 1, you're very familiar with this verse. It says, of Jesus, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Right? So, the Lord placed the ages in their proper position before the Lord did anything else. So I want you to see this. The word in the New Testament for world is the same word as age. Fact is, these two words, the word for world or the plural worlds, is used eight times in the New Testament, and that same word is translated age or ages 26 times. So I'm going to read some things to you that are going to change the way you see familiar verses. Okay? So John chapter 1, he did it all. He did everything. How many of you know that it really feels good when you understand something? Well, the Bible says we understand some things here. And you're going to look at it and say, didn't know I understood that. But this is what it says. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, we understand. So that's how you understand. It's by faith you understand. By faith, we understand that the worlds, or the ages, were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. The Amplified Bible says it this way. By faith, we understand that the worlds, during the successive ages, were framed, fashioned, and put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. So, by faith, we understand the ages were prepared by the word of God. You ever thought about it like that? Well, you're going to get a chance to. So by faith, we understand that the worlds and the ages were set up. In other words, you could say it this way. Jesus gives life. Jesus brings life to every age. And the ages are different. There was the Bronze Age, the Industrial Age, right? The Space Age. Some people still haven't gotten out of that. How many spacey people do you know? Right? I could repeat that one too, but I probably won't. Hebrews 1:2. In these last days, he has spoken in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the ages. And if you read New American Standard, and who doesn't, you'll find in the margin that's the word is used. It's the word ages. Amplified says that verse this way. But in the last days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. Wow. He is the heir and lawful owner of all things. It'd be awful if he wasn't lawful, but he is. Also, by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time, he made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Isn't that amazing? He made them, arranged them, and put them in order. So there's a sequence to the ages. With me? So, is Jesus coming Thursday? I don't know. I don't have that, if he is, I don't have that hot information. But he is coming in the fullness of time. He came the first time in the fullness of time, right? And a new age began. The gospel age, the kingdom age, the age of grace, whatever you call it, all those things. But in these days, he's spoken to us through his Son, whom created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. That's tremendous. Now, it goes on to say in Hebrews 9, verse 26, he otherwise is speaking of the priest who had to go in and out every year and do the sacrifice. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, at the consummation of the ages, he's been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The consummation of the ages. It's not the end of the ages. It's the fullness of something. It's not the termination. How many of you know that when Jesus died, it wasn't the end of the world? We've been logging a couple more thousand years, right? But he says this is the consummation. This is the fullness of time, the fullness of the ages. That age of time reached its fulfillment and its purpose by Jesus paying for sin, right? But it didn't end the world, so it wasn't the end of all the ages, it was the fulfillment of the purpose for that age. And so, obviously, one of the things we want is, Lord, we want the fullness of your purpose for our age, right? I'll read you a verse that will change your way just of seeing things a little bit, just because of the word that's in the Bible. Romans 12, you know these verses. Therefore, verse 1, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this age. That's what it really says. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, here's the first inkling of what I want to slam dunk you with. When we're born into this age, into this world, we're born dead in our trespasses and sins, right? And we're born under the dominion of darkness. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. It says Jesus transfers us out of that and puts us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So there are a couple of ages here working. There's the one that has come and is coming, and the one that is right now. And you got to get out of the one and into the other, and Jesus is the only one that can do that for you. Muhammad can't do that for you, and Confucius can't do that for you, and Farrakhan can't do that for you. Jesus is the only one who can transfer you out of the domain, the darkness, the age you were born into physically, and put you into new life, born from above, right? All things old passed away and new coming, and we can walk into the newness of life. Now see, this is so many people having, and I'm going to talk about this specifically next week. So this is kind of an introduction, but I want you to see it. Don't be conformed to this age. We think of the world and we think of Madison Avenue and you know, all that kind of stuff, which is under the control of the spirit of the age. But don't be conformed to this age because you've been transferred out of it. Now we're in this world, right? But we aren't in this age. Am I making sense? Some of you are looking at me like, dude, you've been in a lot of ages. But I want you to understand, we're to live in this age by being transferred out of it. Okay, we'll talk more about that next week. But have you ever read Romans 12 like that? That's the word it says. It really is. It's not wrong to say world, because the word is used, but you can use it both ways. And so, do not be conformed to this age. Why? Well, because that's the dominion of darkness that you were born into. Don't conform yourself to that. Don't let the spirit of the age conform you in that way. Well, how do I get out of that? You go to Jesus, you let him come in to live inside of you, and he transfers you out of it. But you don't quit there. because you can be transferred out and still living like you did. Haven't you ever worked with somebody that used to live in Georgia? Well, they talk like they still live there, don't they? Y'all come now. No, come on. You're not from Nebraska, right? When I went to school in Maryville, Missouri, I didn't have a twang. I probably picked one up. But I actually had people ask me where from the East Coast I was from. I said, I'm just east of Omaha. But because I didn't have the twang. And a lot of the guys that I met that were from right around here had a twang like they were from Arkansas. It was amazing. Iowans just have like corn. That's what Iowa have, corn. But there's no specific dialect. Get into Minnesota, you know, get into more of the stuff. But these people, if I can say it, there were guys there from Boston and New York and that kind of stuff, and they talked like where they were born. Man, we can't afford to talk and act and think like where we were born, because we were born under the dominion of darkness. That's what it says. Come on. And so what? So when we get birthed out of that, something's supposed to happen. I'll quit, or I'll talk about this, what I'm going to talk about next week. But I want you to see that. Don't be conformed to this age. It's a way of, it's paradigmic. It's a way of seeing things. It's a way of thinking. And he says, you can get your mind renewed. Aha! How does that happen? Repentance. Changing your mind about things. And so walking into the kingdom is this continual thing where you get to see things different, so you can think different, so you can choose different, so you are different. And that's what happens by the renewing of our mind. It's essential that it happens. And that's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to enlighten us from the inside out and cause us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Right? That's how you get out of that. Okay, so he says in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this age, to this world. So this idea of age, it simply means the continued duration of time or of space. It's an age. It's not necessarily chronologically measured, you know, in a like it's 32 days or it's 40 years, but it's an era type of a thing. And Jesus came and started a new era. The kingdom broke through and changed things. Fact is, there's a new covenant, a new testament that fits the... Hey, you can't say new age now because the new age guys have screwed that up. But, right? But new covenant, right? Okay. So, we're in a season of time, an age of time, when things are being restored to their original intent, their original purpose, their original place. Jesus was the first, or Adam was the first Adam, right? And Jesus is the last Adam. And so all the things that happened under the first Adam, we've got to get away from, and it's been introduced by the last Adam who came to clean up the mess. Right? So can you see? The Adams are in different ages. Right? Okay, just trying to make it as, trying to make something unclear as clear as I can. So how is that happening? How do we live in this age? Well, Ephesians 1:20 says it this way. Speaking of Jesus, it says that God, He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and all power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. So Jesus is the ruler, not only in the now, but in the one to come. Right? So this is how this is kind of works, is we have to live in the now based on that. So how do we do that? I think Acts chapter 3 is just one of the best places to go. So let's go to Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. Therefore, repent. Boy, that comes up a lot. But it's about changing your mind. This isn't necessarily changing your direction. This word means to change how you think. It's giving, being given the opportunity by the Lord to see that there's a different way of thinking. He says, our thoughts are not His thoughts, but they can be. So this is the capacity to think from a kingdom point of view, from a Jesus point of view. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I love that. Well, what's going to happen when the Lord shows up? Well, it says times of refreshing. And that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive. This is my eschatology bleeding through. What do you think about the second coming? I think this. I think that that will send Jesus, Christ appointed for us, whom heaven must receive or retain until the period of the restoration of all things which God spoke about by the mouth of the prophets. So when is Jesus coming back? When the restoration of things, everything spoken by the prophets has happened. When is that? I don't know. And I'll help you. Nobody else knows either. So you can throw away your rapture maps and I have them. I got rid of them, but I have them. Because nobody knows the time. Nobody knows. Are there indications? Yes. Wars and rumors of wars and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, it says heaven must retain Jesus until everything spoken by the prophets is completed. Wow. And then, so I'm praying that one day, Lord, when's that going to be? And he asked me a question. Now, this is the way I hear God. I can't blame this on God. This isn't in the Bible. But it was in me. And he said, do you remember what Jesus told his disciples? And I knew what he was talking about. He said, yeah. He said, guys, I have a lot of things I want to share with you now, but I can't tell you. But the Holy Spirit's going to come. He'll lead you into all truth. And I said, yeah. He said, and didn't it also say that if everything that Jesus said was in the books, not all the books in the world wouldn't contain them? Yeah, he said, so there's things Jesus said that's not in the book. And I said, you got me on that one. He says, what if everything spoken by the prophets aren't in the book? I said, don't do that to me. But I had to allow for the fact that even though I'd read the scriptures, I might not have perceived everything spoken by the prophets that has to be fulfilled. Could we agree on that? I mean, I like you. I've read these things more than once, but I find new things in John 3:16 for heaven's sake. The fact is, you need to. I mean, the Holy Spirit can, right, reveal more intent and more purpose. So, heavens are going to receive Jesus until that fullness of all the things spoken by the prophets happen, which will embark on another age, by the way, if I could say it that way. So, we're in this age where the Lord's realigning things. It's the restoration of things that need to happen. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So that everything that the prophets have spoken can be fulfilled, so the heavens don't have to receive Jesus anymore. Does that make sense? To me, that's the most plausible explanation of eschatology. Well, what does that mean about the bulls, and what does that mean about the trumpets? And I said, I'm not in that book yet. But what it does mean is that there is the end of this age is going to come in a terminal way too. Right? I mean, trumpet's going to blow, people are going to fly, stuff's going to happen. Genuinely believe, the truth about the second coming of Jesus is that the second coming of Jesus is the truth. That's about as far as I venture at this point, but that's factual, that's objective. And so, what do we do in the meantime? If he's restoring things, how do we cooperate with him lining things up so that everything spoken by the prophets gets fulfilled? What do we do? How do we cooperate with that happening? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 says it this way. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with the view of an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. The fullness of the times is everything being summed up in Jesus. Suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things in the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we were the first to hope in Christ, that we would be to the praise of his glory. So we're looking for Acts chapter 3, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord to come. And I love the way, I wish I really knew. Greek, I don't read Greek. I have to read people who are Greek scholars because I don't read Greek. But this actually can be translated that it's time, the time of the cooling winds. One scholar says it's the times of the breathing of the breath of God again. I like that. So what are we looking for? We're looking for the Lord to breathe on. We're looking for the power, the presence of the Lord, the wind of God to touch us so we can touch our culture so something happens in our age. Does that make sense? Why? Because everything's moving towards this thing where everything's going to get summed up in Jesus, and Jesus is going to go to the Father and say, here you go. It's all yours. That's 1 Corinthians 15. I mean, that's pretty much where we're headed. Jesus did what he did for us, and God said, I'm going to exalt your name above every other name. And Jesus says, that's awesome and wonderful, and when you sum it all up and give it to me, I'm giving it to you. God so loves, he gives. And I did that pretty quick, but all right? So what's happening, we find ourselves knowing that what's going to happen is that everything is going to end up summed up in Jesus. I like that. Everything's going to be gathered unto him. Everything will be full because what's it say in Ephesians 4? He who ascended, same one who descended. Why did he ascend and descend? So that he might fill all things. And he fills them all by them all getting filled with him. So when Jesus spoke the worlds into existence, when he spoke the times and ages into existence, he did more than just make the earth, the universe, the cosmos. More than bringing forth the universe, he proclaimed and declared the outcome of all the ages, not just the ages themselves. So you read the end of the book, we win, right? We used to say that all the time. Well, that's true. But the outcome of the ages are what he says. And they happen as he said it and when they're supposed to take place. And that's kind of clear, but they don't come with dates on them. Darn. Right? Yeah, be more discernible if that was the case. So in other words, in the beginning, Jesus foresaw the fall of man, the cross, sin, resurrection, and the fullness of the times. He knew it all, had it all, and it's taking place. And see, well, why didn't it happen quicker? Why don't we know? Because he doesn't want anyone to perish. So if you really are in dire desire for the second coming of the Lord to come, then we need to fulfill the Great Commission. That it doesn't exactly say that, but if the Great Commission is fulfilled where every nation, tongue, and tribe, every ethnos, every people group has the gospel, then there's opportunity for him to come. So that's how you hasten the coming, is by extending the kingdom. I mean, that's how that works. That's how that's supposed to work. So, Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. When the fullness of time came, it already came? No. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. So in the fullness of time, when that age was over, when that old covenant age was about to come to an end, he sends Jesus. And it was in the exact fullness of time, not the end of time. The world didn't end when Jesus came. Some would say the real world began when Jesus came, right? But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. So it was in the fullness of the time appointed for that, that Jesus came. So it's not the conclusion or the termination of times, but the state of fullness or completion of times. And I think sometimes there's confusion about what that means, like the world's going to end there. No, but this age is going to end. That's not necessarily the end of the world. That's why this thing about world and age is important. But the end of the age does come. We know it did with the Old Testament. New Testament came, Jesus came. Different age. Now we have the age of grace. Law came through Moses. Grace and truth through Jesus Christ, right? Not under the law anymore. Moses isn't running the show. Abraham's not running the show. Jesus is running the show, right? And if you still try to live under Moses or under Abraham in this age, you'll have a lot of trouble. because your wheels are going to squeak and there ain't no oil for that squeak. I could explain that if I need to. But you understand what I'm saying? Okay. And so here we are. He says, in the fullness of times, Jesus came. So Jesus is bringing the times, the ages, back into alignment so everything can be summed up in him. And I love what he says. He says that we have this inheritance that's imperishable, that doesn't go away. We're predestined to an inheritance in this age. And the word there is pre-horizoned. He's got all the boundaries. The horizons are set up. And so your inheritance is part of that horizon, and it can't change. It can't change. He's pre-horizoned it. It'll happen. It's full, and it'll happen here. He doesn't hang a date on that, but that's what he's saying. So he is summing everything up in Jesus. Only Jesus makes everything add up. Well, think about that for a minute. If he's summing everything up in Jesus, Jesus is the only thing that makes the world add up. And if you're planning a life that's not based in him, that's crazy. Because it'll never add up. How many of you, haven't you had that experience? Maybe since you've come to the Lord, certainly before you came to the Lord, it just didn't, there was always an empty, there was always something. It just didn't ever come together. And since everything's coming together in him, your stuff's not going to come together unless you're in him and he's in you. That's what makes things add up. Well, people say God's math is different. It is. It's perfect. I know about imperfect math because every once in a while, my bank account used to be a negative. That's not perfect math. But it was an imperfect mathematician that did that. His math is perfect. He's summing everything up together in his son. It's so significant, church, that we be the kind of church that gets to people who are trying to put their life together without him, because it can't ever work to stay. Sooner or later, the parts start flying off, because things only sum up, only add up in him. Am I making sense? See, this is why the Great Commission is so important. Man, lots and lots and lots of people. There's lots of people who have success in lots of different realms, but you hear their testimonies. They were empty. It wasn't enough, or they have all sorts of addictions, and right? What, trying to fill the empty parts. He's the only one that can bring all that together. So we have an inheritance that's part of that, that is full and can't change, which is another reason for encouragement and hope. So he's summing things up. He's bringing things together. What is that? How do we do it? How do we cooperate with that? Well, 1 Corinthians 10 says a couple of things. He's talking about Moses and everybody being baptized in Moses in verse 5. But down in verse 11, he says this. All these things, now these things, speaking of the things that happened in the Old Testament, all these things happened to them, speaking of God's first covenant people, Israel. These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Now think about that. All the Old Testament things that happen are for our instruction. And he says, we, he's talking to the church at Corinth. So he's talking to the church. We are the ones upon whom the ends of the ages has come. Wow. Well, see, the ends of the ages, it's not the termination of time. It's this completion, this fulfillment of this age or era. And now this new one coming on, and the church is the answer. Isn't that crazy? I mean, you could stay up all night and say, what is the answer to how critical the condition of our world and our nation is in? And if you gave that to the top 1,000 thinkers in the United States, not one of them would come up with the church as the answer. Really? I mean, it's right. That's true. But what does the Lord say? Oh, this has come to you, upon whom the end of the ages has fallen. We're the answer. Now, Jesus is the answer, but he's in us and we're in him. Right? He's not coming back down one person to do a one-man thing. He's got bazillions of us. That's a lot. And he's going to live in us and want to live through us to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in this age, which is the church becoming it says in Ephesians 2, we're this building, a spiritual house, spiritual temple of God. And at the same time, we are those who take the truth of the kingdom everywhere. Every nation, tongue, and tribe. Every nation, tongue, and tribe. So that's like Gladstone, Grandview, Riverside, those tribes too, right? I don't know what Gladstonians speak, but yeah. It's happy talk, that's all I know. Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying? He's brought this to us. And Paul says, we're the ones on the end of these ages is coming. It's upon us. And so we have to be connected to the former age in the right way, because we're supposed to be learning from what happened to people in the Old Testament, right? So I had somebody ask me one time, how come you preach from the Old Testament? Why wouldn't you? It's the Bible. I said, why let history repeat itself, right? We can keep from making some of the mistakes that some of those guys made. So we have to learn from those who went ahead of us. He says, because we're those upon whom the end of the ages has come. It's not the end, it's not the termination, it's not the conclusion, but it's the fulfillment of the purpose of the age in which we're in. Says this in Hebrews 10. All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be perfect or complete. In other words, we have to recognize our connection to the forefathers, people that went before us, who knew God, learned from God, wrote what they knew, so we can get the understanding and the information and the revelation from those things. And it says, from those wonderful people in Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, there were people who said they didn't get what God promised to them. Why? Because we had to be getting what God promised us in order for them to have the fulfillment of what God promised them. Isn't that amazing? Now, they didn't know it until they died, but it didn't make any difference then, right? God brought that realization to them. Their fulfillment was in the Messiah coming. Their fulfillment was in the scriptures being completed. Their fulfillment was in the Holy Spirit being poured out. And it couldn't happen until we lived that life and those things happened. And so we need to be connected with them and recognized how they knew him, and they now receive the fullness from us having walked into the things that weren't to be done in their age, but have been done since their age. Hope that makes sense to you. So there's an ageless connection is what I wrote down. Those who went before us are not complete without us, and we're not complete without them. We are part of the completing of the ages. And this is really important. This is not starting over again from scratch, but a connection to the restoration of the ages that God is doing. It's stupid to start over from scratch. It is. That's not, we wish like we had it in the old times. No, we need to have it in these times, having learned from the old times, so we don't make the mistakes of the old times, so we can go further in this time than they went in theirs. We're supposed to draft off of each other, right? So it's really significant. We don't need to stop and whether we hit the rock or speak to it again. We should be past that. Are you with me? He's leading us so that we know those principles, we understand how God dealt with them, and we don't have to do that again. We can't separate ourselves from our forefathers of the faith. We need to profit from the stored up prayer, the stored up victories, and the stored up anointings of our predecessors. He even said this back in Deuteronomy 6. He said, listen, we're in the promised land. This is the promised land of God. And we didn't plant the vineyards, and we didn't build the buildings, and we didn't dig the cisterns, but we're eating and drinking and living in those places. God provided for us through them. Their promise fulfilled, their provision fulfilled our promise. They walked in, man, we got grapevines, we got wells. They didn't have to do any of that stuff, because God did it through these other people. And so they're saying, thank God, this is Deuteronomy 6. Well, you know what? It's the same way. We're walking in things today because D.L. Moody was alive, and Spurgeon was alive, and R.A. Torrey was alive, and Billy Graham was alive, and Oral Roberts or Pat Robertson or whomever, John Wesley, you know, they helped provide things for us that we don't have to go do. Am I right? So we don't want to cut ourselves off from predecessors. What we want to do is carry it on. in the newest age that God is working in. And so there are people talking about a new age, but we can't rely on any of those things. No, we're to be flavored by those things. You ever find an old cookbook? We're trying to move. And my wife had some recipe cards that her grandmother used, that her grandmother's mother used. And whatever you're making, you take an eggshell full of milk and you put it in, 3 eggshells of milk. Well, you ever go try to buy a half an eggshell? Yeah, doesn't work so well. But you know what? The recipes are still wonderful. We just don't have to use the eggshells anymore. And so there's a way of God fulfilling those things in our day that really work. I'm not getting as far as I'd like to get. You all need to speed up your hearing aids here. So we need to cry out to God and bring the fullness of the times to us in the age which we live. We need to see the convergence of all that happened before our times merge with the fresh things that God is doing to create a confluential flow of his presence in our day. That's a lot to say, but it's exactly how it's supposed to work. We need to be aware of sacrifices that went before, the triumphs and the victories that came before, but we don't rely on that. We rely on the breathings of the breath of God in our day. What's he saying and doing with us and for us? We're supposed to be able to take that packaged and move forward faster and further because of what he's doing in our day. And so I'm going to say this real quick, and I'll start here next week, okay? Because I want this to be glorious for you, not hard. In Jesus' battle with the devil in Luke chapter 4, the devil presents him. Here's all the kingdoms. You can have them. Worship me. How could he do that? Because he had them. He had them. Right? He had them. In fact, Jesus says he's the God of this age, God of this world. And in verse 6, he says, listen, I'll just read it. This is really significant. I will give you all this domain. See, domain, that's what he has. Dominion. And its glory, because it's been handed over to me, and I can give it to whoever I want. Wow. See, that's a big thing. We kind of gloss over that, and people get criticized this sometimes. Where did the devil get the kingdoms? Who handed it over to him? Happened in the garden, didn't it? It got handed over to him. Now, he slipped it out of their back pocket, but he still got it. They forfeited. Now, a lot of people don't believe this. I'm telling you, Jesus believed it. Come on. Jesus believed it. So, excuse me, but you got to change what you believe if Jesus believed it. And the devil said, I got it because somebody handed it over to me. Wow. See, everybody that's born into this age, into this world, is under that domain. Right? And you got to hand it to him to get out of it. You have to give him the right to transfer you out. That's called salvation. And Jesus says, I can either get it from you or I get it from him by dying for them. I'll go that way. It wasn't that he couldn't get it from him because he had him. Now, people don't believe that, but I know every time I do a baby dedication, it passes through my mind. This sweet, cuddly little baby is born dead in its trespasses and sins and born into the domain of darkness because that's what the Bible says. Now, you don't say that on that day, but you do if you want to resign on Monday. But I'm telling you, that crosses my mind almost every time I do a baby dedication because this is so glorious, but the real glorious thing is going to come when that person on his or her own volition can say, I am my beloved's and he is mine. Right? See, that's what has to happen. That just has to happen. And so the devil says, they handed it to me. Yeah, and I think he outfoxed him. But he got it, right? And so Jesus knew that. And he said, well, we'll fix that on the other end. Because there is another end to it. He lives past the temptation. He said, but this has been handed over to me. And at the end of the passage, it says, when the devil finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. That's exactly how the enemy works with us. He messes with you, and they'll say, you know what? I'll let the guard go down. I'll let them think they won. I'll come back at a more opportune time. When their guard is down, when they're not thinking about it, when they aren't asking anybody to pray for them, when they're not doing it themselves, when they're coasting, or when they're down so far, all I got to do is, and they're done. I'm telling you, I don't have time. This is a real lesson in warfare right here. If he did it to Jesus, he'll do it to the Jesus in you. Hello? That's really significant. You might want to underline that one. That's for another day. Then he says, Jesus said, I'm going to do this. In Luke 19, here's what he says. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And we say that, and we get it. It means people weren't saved. But what I wrote down was, that includes those who were lost and everything they had lost, which is things like power and authority and, right? And love and compassion. They lost a lot of those things. People were walking without them because they were lost. So it wasn't just their condition, it was the things that described their condition. And then 1 John 3:8, we're done. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Ooh! For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. One purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So how do we comply? How do we follow with him? How do we get in on this thing where we're not allowing ourselves to be conformed by the spirit of this age, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind? What do we do? How do we act? And what we do is act with him. This is what we do. We take the power from the age to come and defeat the enemy in the age in which we live. That's what we do. We take the power. Hebrews 6, it talks about, if you've tasted the power of the age to come, that's the kingdom has come and is coming. And that power that is already there and has been here when Jesus was here, when we get in touch with him and we allow him lordship and kingship in our lives and the kingdom breaks through, we operate in the power of that age to come, which has greater authority than the power of this one. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we live in this age by taking from this age and conquering the spirit of this age. Isn't that cool? Can I read you something? Okay, I will. Thank you. I wrote something down this morning early. We were in our Wednesday night class, and I read a prophetic word that someone had given about Kansas City. I don't know if some of you have seen or not. Some prophetic lady from Costa Mesa, California. Sorry, I don't remember her name, and I didn't bring it to the pulpit. But anyway, it says, everything we've been praying for 35 years is what it says. I mean, and has a nowness to it. And so I was praying, and I wrote this down. This is how we'll quit. I said, Lord, how would you speak to me today? This is early this morning. And he says, you're going to talk today about the ages, the times of God. I am the Ancient of Days, and at the same time, I'm the one who does something new. Will you not see it? So wait and pursue simultaneously. Let yourself be stirred by that recent Kansas City word you heard, but know that it flows from my timeless strategies, not from a sudden pulsation of vision or passion. A suddenly to you is a now to me. I do come suddenly to my temple, as you count suddenly, But the suddenness is in the impact and the effort, not the purpose. Move more fully in the power of the age to come, and you will see and sense my plan for the now in which you live. My kingdom is the cause for transformation in this age. My presence in the present is all that you need to change the future of the culture in which you live. I said, that sounds better than me. So why do we take all this time? Why are we talking about this ages and eons and all this kind of stuff? It's because the Lord is doing something. The Lord has always been doing something. He's always been, Jeremiah 31, loving us with an everlasting love, Scott shared with us. And you know what that means? It means people can't come unless they're drawn. So he is everlastingly drawing people to himself. And he's really good at this. So he's going to put you in context with people whom he's drawing so they can find their way into the kingdom, because he never stops. He everlastingly loves, and since people can't come unless they're drawn, he is everlastingly drawing people. Now, at the moment is he drawing them? You'll find out. Because if they bite your head off, either he's really drawing them or he's not at the moment. That's how that works. But I want you to see this. We are in an age and where it takes the power of the age to come to make life work here. Jesus said, my kingdom come, right? My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the same thing, right? It's using what he asks us to pray for, what's going on in heaven. That's the only way to make it work on earth. Am I making sense? He came and broke through once. Now he wants to come and do it all over the place with us. I love the fact that we don't have to get caught up in wondering, well, am I being worldly? Your life will show that. It won't be that hard to figure out. But am I being conformed by the spirit of this thing? Am I being part of this age, of that dominion? Listen, if you've been transferred out of darkness and into light, you don't have to live in darkness anymore. But the deceit of the enemy is to make you think you do, or to make you live as darkly as he can make you live, even though your destination in heaven is secure. Am I making sense? This is a big deal. So I want to talk to you about this next week. I want to talk to you about being transferred but not being transformed. I think I got something on this. I mean, I do. I'm kind of excited about it. But I think it'll help us get over the hump a little bit. So why don't we stand together? We've heard a lot today, haven't we? I mean, an awful lot today. And I won't belabor the point, but I do know this. He is as real and as authoritative and as powerful and as loving and as kind as he has ever been with any people, ever, ever. I don't care who you read in the scriptures or what biography you might read. He hasn't ever changed. So he doesn't have to strain himself to be good to you. You may have to strain yourself to recognize his goodness sometimes, but he never has to strain himself to be good to you. So let's just do it this way. Why don't you put your hand on your heart? And Lord, you contain the fullness of all in all. That's what the scriptures say. And Jesus, you're the embodiment of the fullness of God. And today we want to say, we love you, we trust you. And now, Lord, like it says in the Gospels, where Jesus just said, listen, if I extend my finger and demons fly, you're going to know the kingdom of God is in your midst. We just ask for the touch of God on each heart, that there would be that, as it says in Acts 1, many convincing proofs that you are alive. And I pray that you touch people by many convincing proofs. Nothing I have to say, not my touch, but by many convincing proofs, would you show yourself alive today, now, but in the days to come, in this week, there to just be those little interventions from heaven saying, I'm on it, I'm in it, I'm in you, I'm for you. Lord, this is the day we celebrate the death of people who gave their lives for us. So we want to end it by saying, we sum it all up and say, Lord, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the truth of the Scriptures. And thank you for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And today, we want to say, what you did is enough. It is enough. In Jesus' name, amen.